1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The field is now set for the semifinals of the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. The Stallions of Burkina Faso will be hoping to gallop when they face 2019 finalist Senegal, the Lions of Teranga, in the first semifinal on Wednesday. And then the indomitable Lions of Cameroon will host the Pharaohs of Egypt in the second semifinal on Thursday. Both matches are scheduled to kick off at 8 p.m. local time in Cameroon. We have Nations Cup reports on Monday's show from Samson Omale, Lamech Messina, and Iron Mike Mbonye. But first, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Spain's Rafa Nadal and Australia's Ash Barty, who won the men's and women's singles titles at the Australian Open Tennis Tournament. It was a record-breaking performance from Rafa, as we hear now from Craig Gabriel in Melbourne.
History was made on the Rod Laver Arena when Rafa Nadal came back in the most emotional match of his career to win his 21st major. No other man in the history of tennis has done that, and he's broken the tie he shared with Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic for the most majors. In 5 hours, 24 minutes, Nadal came back to beat Daniil Medvedev 2-6-6-7, 6-4, 6-4, 7-5. Incredibly, in the sixth game of the third set, Medvedev had Nadal at love 40, three break points. Nadal got himself out of that situation and it started his comeback. The question put to him was whether this makes him the greatest men's player at the majors.
No, I don't want to change my my point of view, honestly. Now, of course, for me it's amazing to achieve another Grand Slam at this moment of my career. It just means a lot to me, and of course I know it's a special number, 21, and I am not, I mean, I know how it means, you know, and it's a big significance, this title, no?
As for Medvedev, he said he is no longer the little boy who dreamed of being in such finals. Now this has been a reality check, and he's going to do more to win these championships. He's going to do it for himself and his family.
Today, during the match, I understood that I'm going to play tennis. The kid stopped dreaming. The kid is going to play for himself, and that's it.
Nadal's victory, which was the fourth time in his career that he's come back from two sets to love down, the last time was at Wimbledon in 2007, also brought up an interesting statistic. He now has the longest gap between winning a first title and the second title at the same major. He won his first Australian Open 13 years ago in 2009, and he's displaced Jimmy Connors, who held that position at Wimbledon. His first was in 1974 and the second in 1982. A month ago, Nadal wasn't even sure if he'd be able to play. He was troubled by his foot injury, and he had a bout of COVID. But that is not even in his mind. Now, he's the Australian Open champion for the second time.
But from my point of view, I really believe that what I say the other day, I hold. No, I really believe today it's an unforgettable day, and I never will say I deserve, because I think a lot of people fight and a lot of people deserve. But I really believe that I hold a very positive spirit, and for the last 6 months, I really fought it a lot to try to be back on court. No, and have been very, very tough moments, moments to really conversations, tough ones, because you don't know if I'm gonna have the chance to be back on the tour. But yeah. I feel honored.
Australia has been waiting 44 years for this moment. For more than four decades, there's been a drought. Since 1978, no Australian woman has won the Australian Open. On a mild evening with the roof over the famed Rod Laver Arena open, all that was changed by a 25-year-old from Queensland. Ash Barty is on cloud nine. She defeated Danielle Collins in her toughest match of the tournament, and she won her first Australian Open and third career major. It took Barty 1 hour 27 minutes by the score of 6-3, 7-6 to claim the championship.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. I think as Aussies, we're exceptionally lucky to be Grand Slam nation, to get to experience to play at home is really special, and to be here as a champion of the tournament is really exciting.
Barty only needed one service break to win the first set, but the match turned around in the second as Collins went up a double break and led 5-1. In tennis, they say the seventh game is the vital seventh, and it happened to be the case again, because from that point, the Australian won four consecutive games as they advanced to the tiebreak, which Barty controlled and won 7-2. Collins said she was disappointed.
Yeah, not the result that I wanted, obviously, tonight, but I gave it my best effort. I did everything that I could. I was pushed to the max, and I gave myself a chance there and in the end. And unfortunately, it didn't go my way, but I did everything I could, and that's all you can do at the end of the day. So it was a great event for me. Accomplished some new things, learned a lot of new things, and certainly have some areas to improve, which is a good thing. And yeah, played against a great competitor tonight, and it was a fun battle.
Christine O'Neill was the last Australian woman to win, and she was watching the final from the President's Box. But the huge surprise for Ash was that the Daphne Akers Memorial Cup was presented by the legendary Yvonne Goolagong, who for Barty is an idol and mentor and close friend. She now has those three majors. This Australian Open will sit alongside her 2019 French Open and 2021 Wimbledon. The men's doubles was an all-Australian affair for the first time since 1980, and it was Nick Kyrgios and Thanasi Kokkinakis who beat Matt Ebden and Max Purcell. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. Samson Omale joins us now from Yaoundé, Cameroon, with a big package of Africa Cup of Nations football news. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny. The semi-finalists for the 2021 AFCON, being hosted by Cameroon, have emerged. In matches played over the weekend, host Cameroon beat Gambia 2-0 in the quarterfinal in Douala in their first outing since the Olympic disaster, where they will return to face Egypt on Thursday in a meeting of the two teams with the most Cup of Nations titles. Cameroon goalkeeper Davis Epasi-Mboka and midfielder Phil Collins both said winning the trophy will be good for host Cameroon.
It's everything we wanted, the victory, and we got it, so it's the most important for us. We are happy that we played a very good game, and Douala showed us favour again today, so we are very happy. And I'm happy that at the end we got the 3 points.
Now we have the semi-finals ahead of us. We have to give everything. We have to continue fighting, and we have our chances. We have to give everything to get to the finals.
In Garoua, it was 19-year-old Dango Ouattara who scored on the stroke of halftime to ensure a 1-0 win for Burkina Faso over Tunisia in the quarterfinal game at the Romde Aija Stadium on Saturday. Ouattara held off two defenders to strike home the ball from close range after a breakaway attack in the third minute of stoppage time at the end of the first half. The striker, who later got himself sent off, was sent on his way by a pass from inside his own half from Blati Taore, as the Burkinabes played a clever counter-attacking game to advance to the last four of the tournament in Cameroon. Adama Guerrera is Burkina Faso's midfielder.
It's true that right now we have a really young squad compared to before, but all these players are playing already in Europe. They know what is the high-level competition, so they are ready to also contribute to the strength of the team. So I don't think we all in the team thinking the same way, and that the only way we can have some victory.
It is the third time in the last five editions of the Continental Championships that Burkina Faso have gotten to the semi-final, and they would next take on Senegal and Equatorial Guinea. On Sunday, it was Egypt who got into the semis after a scrappy, tightly contested match thanks to the creativity of Liverpool striker Mo Salah, who overturned Morocco's early lead with an easy close-range finish, then a dazzling assist to hand Trezeguet a goal on the plate. Morocco took the lead through an early Sofiane Boufal penalty, only for Egypt captain Salah to equalize early in the second half, following up to score after Mohamed Abdoumen header was saved. Egypt goalkeeper Mohamed Abu Ghabal then tipped a late Naif Aguerret header into the crossbar as the game went into extra time, and the record seven-time continental champions found the winner in the 100th minute. Coach Carlos Queiroz and Captain Mo Salah speak on their victory against their North African neighbors.
This moment, the most important thing is to rest mentally, physically, and get ready for the next game. That's the only thing is important. I think we play a fantastic game. We deserve to win the game. And now we didn't win nothing. Now we just win the right to move forward, nothing more.
Sunday's second game, Senegal's Sadio Mane returned to set up Famara Dido for their opener, only for Equatorial Guinea to respond through Yannick Bolia. But Chieko Kiati and Ismaila Saar made sure of a 3-1 win for the Lions of Taranga. The semifinals has been scheduled for this Wednesday and Thursday at the Stade Omnisports de Douala. It will be Burkina Faso versus Senegal, while on Thursday it will be host Cameroon taking on Egypt at the Olympi Stadium. To look at the quarterfinals and semifinals results, I start with four journalists covering the 2021 AFCON here in Yaoundé, Cameroon. Ojora Babatunde, Kenny Ogumiloro, Taufik Babalola, and Bilikisu Sulola as they look forward to the finals on the 6th of February.
It's been a good tournament so far, and the quarterfinals, it's also a display of beautiful football. Senegal will top the rank of the African football, the number one. Showed what it takes and what they have to be the number one in Africa yesterday. We saw the game, beautiful football and tactical genius substitution from the coach. Credit must go to him. I know he's been receiving a lot of backlash lately. But coming to the semifinals, Egypt and Cameroon. I'm sure the Egyptians still have the 2017 finals in their mind when they lost to Cameroon in Gabon. And they're looking at what Cameroon has so far, you know, got into in this tournament. I'm convinced that they have the 12th man behind them. And having strikers that have 11 goals between them, Kali Tombo and Vincent Abubakar, I think they were so skilled trying to get to the final. But so far, so good. Good show of football in Cameroon. And we're enjoying every bit of it.
Kenny, what do you make of where we are now with the quality of football displayed and where we are into the semifinals now? What are the major takeaways for you at this very crucial part and point of the tournament?
Well, basically, I think the first thing is about the fact that we're in the semifinal stage already. This was a tournament that many people felt should not happen in the first place over different, very different reasons. But of course, to give thanks to God, started like a joke. Now in the semifinal, two more games, then we come to the end of the tournament. The most people clamored for the postponement. But of course, just like you rightly mentioned, the men have been separated from the boys. Gradually, we are separating the contenders away from the pretenders. Cameroon, semifinal, the host nation, they still have a record.
Well, I'm open to see Egypt and Senegal in the final. I want that Mo Salah and Sadio Mane. I just want to see both of them in the final. It will make, I think, aside football-wise, I think it's going to gain. Give this little competition like it was dubbed before it. Commenced on January 9th. At least it will give them a lot of traction for this and. Most people want to watch Sadio Mane and Mo Salah.
For Cameroon playing at home, their fans, they have been very supportive and they love football and think they are having the advantage of playing at home. And going to the semi-final against Egypt, you will see them in their numbers. That will be at an advantage. But the way the Egyptians are playing now from their first game after the game against Nigeria, I think they've picked up and they are improving game after game. So I can see Egypt hedging out Cameroon in the semifinal. And for Burkina Faso and Senegal, I think the caliber of players in the side of Senegal, they have the team to go far and to reach the final. So we can likely see Egypt and Senegal in the final.
Staying with the African Cup of Nations, the Olympic Stadium in Cameroon's capital, Yaounde, has been given approval to host the semifinal and final of the African Cup of Nations days after a fatal crash outside the ground. The announcement by the Confederation of African Football came after it received a report into the strategy. A statement said it was confident the safety and security of spectators will be assured. And finally, Tunisia's head coach, Modia Kabia, became the latest casualty of his football federation as a 51-year-old was sacked on Sunday, the day after his side's African Cup of Nations quarterfinal exit to Burkina Faso. Kabir, who had been in charge since August 2019, will be replaced by his 50-year-old deputy coach, Jalil Kadri, the Tunisian Football Federation confirmed. Tunisia, the 2004 African Cup of Nations champions, lost 1-0 to 10-man Burkina Faso on Saturday in Cameroon.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Yaounde, Cameroon.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The flames of Malawi burn brightly in Cameroon, where they reached the round of 16 before losing to Morocco 2-1. It was Malawi's best ever Nations Cup performance, and the flames received a hero's welcome when they returned home. Lamech Messina reports from Blantyre, Malawi.
As the team arrived at Jileka International Airport, soccer fans, many of them dressed in red, sang songs praising the Malawi Flames with a welcome for heroes. The honor was largely because of the team's outstanding performance during the games that allowed it to reach the round of 16, a knockout stage for the first time in the country's history. The Flames lost to Guinea 1-0 in their opening match, but then bounced back with a 2-1 victory over Zimbabwe and a hard-fought scoreless draw against 2019 Nations Cup finalist Senegal. However, in the knockout stage, Malawi lost 2-1 to Morocco, booking itself a ticket back home. Walter Nyamilandu is the president for the Football Association of Malawi. He told reporters upon arrival in Blantyre that although Malawi failed to proceed further at AFCON, Malawi's mission in Cameroon was accomplished.
Nobody expected that we would go this far and to reach the round of Group 16 is mission accomplished. We went there to reach the round of 16 and we achieved exactly what we wanted. So we're extremely happy that now we are amongst the top 16 teams in Africa, and this is where Malawi belongs.
Nyamilandu said much of the credit goes to coach Mario Marinica, a Romanian national who is the team's technical director. The Football Association of Malawi in November last year tasked Marinica to act as head coach for the Flames during the AFCON engagements.
The coach is here to stay. It depends what role he has to play. He's an asset because he's delivering, and it's a question of where do we deploy him. We'll sit back and make a sober decision about what is right for Malawi football in the short term and in the long term. But as far as I'm concerned, he has passed all the tests. And if anything, we should give him an open visa and Malawi's citizenship to stay here because he has proved that he can deliver.
Marinica told VOA that he would love to introduce the new style of play he has instilled in the Flames to all the nation's football clubs.
Obviously, we need this system to be implemented throughout the country and as much as possible adopted by all the coaches in Malawi. I hope that in the near future, we'll see consistent results and much better players being produced throughout the country.
Sunduzwayo Madise is the board chairman for the Malawi National Council of Sports. He says the performance of the Flames at AFCON has given the country pride.
It was the first time where you go to a country and you're wearing a Malawian jersey and people see you and they're clapping hands at you. Yes, in terms of FIFA rankings, we may not be up there, but I think we demonstrated that we've got the spirit, and I think we gave it our best shot. Unfortunately, we couldn't go through, but I think we did very well.
From the airport, the Flames proceeded to the Amiris Hotel in Blantyre, which hosted a celebratory dinner and provided accommodations for the team. The government is pledging to provide more funding to make the team among the best in Africa. Lamech Messina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamech. for a look at the Nations Cup quarterfinal matches played over the weekend, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
We witnessed four tantalizing games that are worthy of being regarded as perfect advertisement for the African game. Host Cameroon made light work of the Gambia in the first quarterfinal game, but the major surprise had to come on Saturday night with the Stallions of Burkina Faso beating the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia in Garoua. Not many saw that coming, considering how the Tunisians eliminated Nigeria in the round of 16. Kudos to the Burkinabes, who were even reduced to 10 men, but held their own. On Sunday, the game between Egypt and Morocco lived up to its billing, went into extra time, and it required the magic of one of the best players on planet Earth at the moment, Mohamed Salah, to weigh in with a goal and an assist to propel the Pharaohs of Egypt into the semis. And on Senegal, despite taking the lead in the game, the Nzalang National of Equatorial Guinea gave all their best. They gave a valiant display, equalized at some point, denied what many people thought was a penalty before succumbing to a 3-1 loss. Fantastic games, I must say. And it just goes to show that the higher the competition goes, the better it becomes.
Equatorial Guinea has been outstanding in the ongoing AFCON tournament, but they lost to an experienced Senegalese team. What's your take on their game?
The Nzalang National of Equatorial Guinea can go back home with their heads held high, having thrilled the rest of Africa in this competition. Yes, they exit the tournament at the quarterfinal stage, but not without their bag of surprises. Remember, they were the first team to beat the defending champions, Fennec Foxes of Algeria, in the group stage. And they've gone from strength to strength. Against Senegal on Sunday night, they went behind, trailed at halftime, but they came back in the second half with purpose and determination. And what a valiant effort from these boys, coached by Wan Micha. They got an equalizer in that game and perhaps could have been awarded a penalty, which could have turned the game on its head. But they later succumbed due to some unlucky mistakes at the back. Regardless of that, they have done magnificently well in this competition and have shown the rest of Africa that it's not just about the big names. If you have a good squad that are together in unity, in purpose, and with a high level of determination and commitment, you can always confound even the best of teams.
Fisayo, the semifinals of the ongoing AFCON appears to be the big boys' affairs. What are your thoughts on the games?
I wouldn't necessarily say it is a big boys' affair in the semifinal, because when you look at the roll call of the four teams that have made it to the latter stages, you see a certain Stallions of Burkina Faso, a team that have never won the Africa Cup of Nations. Yes, they were the beaten finalists to Nigeria in 2013, but in this edition, they've grown in leaps and bounds since losing the opening game of the competition to Cameroon in Yaoundé. Here they are in the semi-final after upstaging 2004 champions Tunisia in the quarter-final. They've combined grit with power, with pace and flair and determination to get to this stage. Now they come up against the Teranga Lions of Senegal in a West African derby in the semi-final, and they will know this is a different ball game. I'm rooting for them all the way, but I think the Senegalese have a little more quality than they possess. And I'm sure they will be the favorites to go through. In the other semi-final match, that will be the peak of it. Cameroon against Egypt. Mohamed Salah seemed to be hitting the right form at the latter stages of the competition. And this will be the sternest test yet for the host nation, Cameroon. They've won all their games by the final group game against Cape Verde, which they drew. They've been barely troubled by the majority of their opponents, but against the Pharaohs of Egypt, they will have to be at their imperious best. That is certainly going to be the star match of the semi-final, and the whole of Africa is poised to witness fantastic football artistry from all these four teams.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with a report on Canada's 2-0 victory over the visiting United States in a qualifying match for this year's World Cup football tournament in Qatar. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. By the way, welcome back, and I hope you had a wonderful birthday holiday. Canadian football of Nigerian descent Sam Adekugbe and his fellow countryman of Jamaican descent Larin both recorded their names on the score sheet as Canada beat the United States 2-0 in a World Cup qualification game that was played at Tim Hortons Field. The Canadians, who are currently ranked 40th in the world, sit on top of the CONCACAF 2022 World Cup qualifying with 22 points and could make a return at the World Cup for the first time since 1986. Canadian head coach John Herdman expressed optimism on his team's chances of qualifying for the world event.
Look, it's always been 9 points. I mean, the mission's been to be the first to qualify and win every game. That's it. That's all we ever set. So you just got to get the feet back on the ground. We've got El Salvador in 2.5 days' time. We've got to get on a flight back into the heat and see if we can book our place to Qatar.
This Canadian head coach John Herdman sharing his thoughts after his team secured a crucial victory against the United States to edge closer to qualifying for the World Cup. Canadian midfielder who got the winning goal, Larin, also shared his thoughts.
It was a great win for us, and I think everyone's just excited, and we won today, and we just keep going. And this team is a really close team, and we'll keep it until the end.
There's Canadian international midfielder Larin reacting to his national team's victory against the United States men's soccer team. U.S. men's national team coach Greg Berhalter had this to say.
Last game, after the game, in my post-match, I praised the effort of a few individuals and thought they had an outstanding effort in the game. This game, I can't single anyone out. I think it was an entire team effort that was outstanding. We asked them to be dominant. We asked them to embrace the conditions, embrace the physicality of the opponent, and I think we did that and more. It's hard for me to remember a performance away from home this dominant without getting a result. So, yeah, the result hurts. The performance doesn't hurt. I'm proud of the guys, proud of the way they competed. Disappointed to give up the first goal in the fashion that we did from our goal kick and two passes, and we give up a goal. That's not how we defend. That's not our style of defending, and that hurts a little bit. And I think overall, we want to that dominance in possession, we want to translate that into more chances in front of goal, and that was lacking as well. But it was a dominant away performance without a win. And when I think about the big picture of this, you know, Canada is clearly in first place. We may drop the third place tonight, but we're still in good position in World Cup qualifying, and we want to close out this window with a win at home against Honduras to solidify our position.
That's U.S. men's national soccer team coach Greg Berhalter reacting after his team's loss against Canada. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. And thanks also for the happy birthday wishes. Prince, my wife Suzanne's homemade carrot cake was a big birthday hit.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In American-style football, the Cincinnati Bengals will play the Los Angeles Rams in Super Bowl 56 on February 13th at SoFi Stadium, the home venue of the Rams in Southern California. The Rams beat the visiting San Francisco 49ers 20-17 on Sunday in the NFC Championship game, and the Bengals upset the Kansas City Chiefs 27-24 in overtime in the AFC Championship game. The AP's Greg Eklund reports from Kansas City, Missouri.
Evan McPherson of the Cincinnati Bengals kicked the game-winning field goal from 31 yards out in overtime for the 27-24 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow threw two TD passes.
If you would have told me
before the season that we'd be going to the Super Bowl, I probably would have called you crazy. But then, you know, we played a whole season and, you know, nothing surprises me now.
The Bengals trailed 21-3 in the first half, but kept the Chiefs out of the end zone for the rest of the game.
Thanks, Greg. That's Greg Eklin reporting from Kansas City, Missouri. And that wraps up the January 31st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.